This is the March 2024 edition of Review, the Journal of Blind Veterans UK. Military dinner at RAF Bulmer. We will be holding our next Blind Veterans UK military dinner on the 15th of May 2024 at RAF Bulmer in Northumberland. This is a fantastic opportunity to join us in celebrating the amazing achievements of our members, celebrate our military heritage and strengthen relationships within the military community, making for an incredibly special and memorable day. The event will include welcome drinks and canapés, speeches and presentations, a three-course meal with complimentary wine and port. If you want to express your interest in attending, go to our website blindveterans.org.uk/Bulmer, B-O-U-L-M-E-R, or call our supporter services team on 0300 111 2233.
Warmest greetings. A message from your CEO, Adrian Bell. I hope you have received my recent communication on the future of our subsidiary research charity, Bravo Victor, and that it is in your stated preference. Please do let me know if this is not the case. Thank you. I always enjoy hearing from members and am trying to get to more local member gatherings as my diary permits. I have been to two events in Stowmarket and Fareham this year so far and look forward to planning in more. My diary is already filling up, so if you have a particular event that you would like me to attend, please do get in touch and I will see what I can do. I am very sorry to say that I have to say two farewells, and I start with the recent death of Michael Gordon Lennox, who served as both a trustee and chair of the charity from 1993 to 2008. You can hear more about his life and contribution when we get further on in the review. I did not have the privilege of meeting Michael, but I've heard a lot about him, and he was clearly somebody who was absolutely committed to the charity and our members. I have written to his widow to express our condolences, but also our gratitude for his service to others. We also say farewell to Nikki Shaw, until recently Director of Operations, as she leaves us for personal reasons. You can hear more about that later in the recording as well, but suffice to say, Nikki has contributed a lot to this charity and will be missed. I wish her well. Helen Cooling, former Assistant Director of Operations, stepped up as the Interim Director in mid-February, and you may rest assured that you should continue to experience the high level of service and facilities. We will be holding a series of military dinners at selected venues nationwide, which are open to all Blind Veterans UK members. All dinners will be held in daylight hours, that's 1300 to 1730, and at no cost to members, to a guest of their choosing. Find out more information about these events, including the different venues and dates, which we will give you later in the recording. Bookings can be made online via supporter services or by contacting the community team for help. Bookings close approximately 6 weeks in advance of each event. In the charity's annual report, the chair, Barry Coop, and I referenced the future financial sustainability of the charity and the need to balance the budget if we are to be able to support members properly and appropriately in the years ahead. To that end, I am presently working on a range of options that we will be exploring over the course of the summer. I am really keen to involve members in this thinking, and I am therefore planning to organise a members' conference, hopefully in May this year. It will probably be a day and a half in duration, so would be a two-night commitment, and likely to be in London. The aim is to discuss with members the future options for the charity as we redesign services to bring expenditure back into balance and ensure the charity has a sound and sustainable future. Please bear with me on details as we are still negotiating with various locations to get the best package. However, you may expect invites to be sent by email and letter, with bookings to be made via the Blind Veterans UK website or through supporter services. Depending on take-up and venue capacity, we might have to have a ballot selection, but we will aim to be representative across age and regional areas. The costs for the conference will be met by the charity, although travel costs will be the responsibility of members. Grants will be available if appropriate. For those who are unable to attend, we are investigating an online video link, and there will be a report after the event to share with all members. This is all from me for the moment, and so I leave with a reminder of just how important your feedback and thoughts are to the future of health of this charity. Please do feel free to comment, either via member services or direct to me, and that is at adrian.bell@blindveterans.org.uk.
News. Veteran ID cards. You can now apply online for a veteran's ID card via the government website at gov.uk/veteran-card. If you need help with your application, you can contact the Veterans UK helpline at veterans-uk@mod.gov.uk or by calling 0808 1914 218. Similarly, your local community team is always on hand if you need assistance. Member Simon Brown, who was involved in testing the application process, says, "When I was in the military, I had the same ID card for 13 years. You build up a connection to it because it goes everywhere with you, and you'd be seriously disciplined if you misplaced it. When I got my veteran card, it made me feel part of something again. It's important. It's saying, I've had this family, and here's that evidence that I'm part of this community. Being a veteran is something that joins us all together. Having known colleagues that didn't make it to be a veteran, the term veteran is really important to me." Tribute to Mark Pyle. We are deeply saddened to share that member Mark Pyle has passed away aged 59 after a long battle with cancer. As we reflect on Mark's life and contributions to our charity, our thoughts are with his family and loved ones during this difficult time. In his final months, Mark completed an awe-inspiring skydive to raise money for Blind Veterans UK. A testament to his bravery and selfless spirit, we express our sincerest gratitude for the lasting impact he made in supporting our charity and his fellow blind veterans. To celebrate his life and continue his legacy of support, we encourage those who wish to donate and share their messages of condolences to visit his tribute page, markpyle.muchloved.com. HMS Salton Summer Camp Calling Notice. The annual Blind Veterans Summer Camp at HMS Salton will take place this year from Friday 2nd August to Saturday 10th August. After many years as organising secretary, Andy Salter has now stepped back and Lorraine Osman has taken over. Lorraine says, "There are a limited number of places for Blind Veterans UK members due to service accommodation constraints, but please don't let us put you off applying to attend, as we will accommodate as many blind veterans as possible, as well as your helpers. We have endeavoured for many years to create a summer camp family and to maintain that ethos and atmosphere. We do have members who regularly participate. That said, we are careful to ensure that places are offered to new applicants each year. Although there are no boundaries with regard to age or physical ability, checks with Blind Veterans UK staff will be conducted to ensure suitability. We are very aware that this is an excellent opportunity to provide some respite for both the campers and those who are providing regular care. To apply for consideration this year, please email Lorraine, and that's Laurie, L-O-R-R-Y, Osman, Organising Secretary at Lorraine, L-O-R-R-A-I-N-E, dot Osman, O-S-M-A-N, 325, at mod.gov.uk, or call her on 077-27-68-4929. Applications will be forwarded and an attendance list will close on 7th of May 2024. Applicants will be informed whether or not they have been successful by the end of May. I look forward to receiving your applications and hopefully meeting up in August. Michael Gordon Lennox. It is with great sadness that we inform you that our former chairman, Michael Gordon Lennox, passed away in January. Michael's work with our charity started in 1993 when he joined the Council of St Dunstan's as a trustee. He became our chairman in 1998, only the fifth person to take on the role since our founding in 1915, and served in the role for 10 years. As chair, Michael steered the charity through many changes, particularly overseeing the expansion of the charity to support blind veterans regardless of when they served or how they lost their sight. This change, from previously only supporting those who lost their sight in service, has allowed Blind Veterans UK to support tens of thousands more blind veterans in the almost 25 years since. He was also instrumental in the decision for us to purchase our Llandudno Centre of Wellbeing. Following his retirement as chair, Michael continued in the role of Vice President of Blind Veterans UK until his death. All at Blind Veterans UK would like to thank Michael for his 30 years of service and offer our heartfelt condolences to his family. Nikki Shaw bids a fond farewell. In December 2023, our Director of Operations, Nikki Shaw, made the difficult decision to bid farewell to the charity and spend some precious time with a member of her family who has a life-limiting illness, while furthering the academic work she's so passionate about. Nikki joined the charity over 8 years ago and has never failed to put members at the heart of her work. One of her main achievements was the leadership and implementation of the new community services in 2017, which has seen more members receive support and rehabilitation in their homes and local communities. Also in 2020, Nikki led the charity through the COVID-19 pandemic and, with her team, developed the National Support Service. This reached thousands of blind veterans with support at home and in the centres during the pandemic and was recognised nationally as a sector-leading service. Nikki said, "It has been an absolute pleasure being part of the Blind Veterans UK family for the last 8.5 years, and I would like to thank members for their support throughout this time. It has been a truly wonderful journey, and I've been inspired by so many people, by their courage, tenacity and dedication in service and in leading a life beyond sight loss. May I take this opportunity to send you my every best wish for the future." Nikki's dedication to supporting blind veterans has been exemplary. Her leadership and counsel will be missed by staff and members alike.
New website wins top award for digital accessibility. Review writer William Witt explains how we built a site that anyone can use. Many websites you find on the internet these days are made accessible by the bolting on of various tools which often don't work as expected. We decided to take a different approach by creating a website which had accessibility at its core, So, during the development of the site, we consulted with a number of members, as well as others with a variety of disabilities, to test the website and ensure it could be used by anyone. Following extensive testing by accessibility experts AbilityNet, our website received an accredited PLUS certification. This means that it's not only technically accessible, but also usable in real life, proven through testing by users with many different accessibility requirements. I spoke to member trustee Jamie Cuthbertson, who was one of those members who took part in testing the website during its development, to ask him about his involvement. Jamie said, "As a member with no sight at all, I was asked to take part in testing the website during the development. There were other members with different levels of sight loss and ways they access the internet involved too. It was a refreshing change from the norm, as all too often this sort of testing and development is only thought about after the launch in other organisations. I was asked to perform a number of tasks on the website and report back if they could be done simply. Things like using the eligibility checker and making a donation. The vast majority of the site was very good, and the feedback I provided was listened to and implemented. Then I tested the site again. I think it's a brilliant website, and one that's extremely easy to navigate for anyone with vision impairment. I navigate with speech, and it's a breeze because of the well-thought-out and consistent use of headings and other features, making it easy to navigate to important parts of the page. I feel like I'm experiencing it as close to a sighted experience as possible. It's going to be great for getting potential members on board, as they can easily find out what we do, how we can help, and if they are eligible. I would encourage members to visit the website and pass on to the charity any feedback you have, as improvements can always be made. Introducing your new member area. Following on from the success of our new accredited website, we've created a new area of the site dedicated to our members and your loved ones. An online member area has been created to provide you and your families with easy access to all the latest member news and information. You can find out about and book events, activities and centre breaks, read our latest news and announcements, browse through past issues of review, and even send in your feedback quickly and easily. We'd love to know what you think of it, so please let us know. In the new member area, you can register your interest in virtual groups, member events and centre breaks, read tailored news depending on where you live in the country, submit online inquiries to the member support hub without the need to call, nominate a member for a founder's award, share feedback directly with the charity via online surveys, refer a friend who may be eligible for our support, sign up to a new member email letter due to launch in April this year, and much more. You can also access the area via the Veterans Area login page found on the top right navigation on your desktop or in the simple menu on your mobile, which is the three lines in the top left of your screen. The login page simply asks you to confirm if you are a member, family member, carer or professional. To access your member area, simply go to www.blindveterans.org.uk/member. If you need help accessing the member area, please contact your local community team or the member support hub on 01273 391 447.
In your community, hear about social gatherings which have taken place this winter, bringing members together in their local areas across the country. Working Age Member Tech Awareness Week. We celebrated a great start to 2024 with the first Tech Awareness Week hosted at our Llandudno Centre. 10 working age members visited the centre to explore and inspire one another in all areas of technology. They all hope to go on to more meaningful activity around volunteering and future employment. The group included long-term members who joined the charity a number of years ago, as well as those who joined during the pandemic. For some, it was their first experience of meeting other members. As the week came to an end, it was clear that the group had become a solid support network for one another. They all said they'd learned a lot and were looking forward to meeting again at some point in the future. Visit to RAF Coningsby. Members from in and around the east of England were invited to attend the Battle of Britain Memorial Flight, BBMF, at RAF Coningsby in January. The event was an excellent opportunity for members to meet with one another and find out fascinating facts about the aircraft, such as the different roles they were given during the Second World War. The private tour was booked through BBMF squadron personnel, and both tour guides were former RAF pilots. BBMF squadron leader delivered a talk to members about flying requirements, the squadron's history, maintenance planning, and more. It was a great day as members were given the opportunity to really delve into the history of each airframe and its purpose, and even provided with a full sensory experience with noise from on-site RAF mechanics working on the airframes. Everyone thoroughly enjoyed themselves. Welwyn Garden City Lunch Club. The launch of our first Welwyn Garden City Lunch Club took place in January. We had a great turnout and it looks set to become a regular feature in the calendar going forward. Lots of smiles, jokes and swapping numbers. A great start to 2024. Epsom Christmas Lunch. At the end of December, we held the final Christmas event for members in Epsom, which was filled with joy and laughter. During the pandemic, the original Epsom members would talk monthly on the phone. They have continued to do so up until this day, so it was lovely to see them all together and welcome new members to the group. Do you want to know what's going on in your local area? Contact your local community team, who can tell you everything you need to know. An unforgettable 100th birthday for World War II veteran Jack. Member Jack Burton, who served with the RAF as a navigator during the Second World War, marked his 100th birthday last month with a special charity fundraiser. Jack Burton spent his 100th birthday with his family, but didn't ask for any presents, preferring to ask everyone to donate to Blind Veterans UK. Jack, who's been a member since 2011, decided that he had enough Tottenham Hotspur memorabilia, having been a lifelong fan since 1933, so wanted to forgo birthday gifts in order to give back. His fundraiser has already raised over £1,800. On the day, Jack was joined by four generations of his family for an afternoon tea party. He is grandfather to 13 and great-grandfather to 3. Number 3 was actually due on his 100th birthday, but sadly didn't join the world in time for the party. Jack's stepson Paul said, "What do you buy a man when he turns 100? He didn't need any gifts, so instead we asked for donations to Blind Veterans UK to honour his legacy of service. This has been our way of saying thank you to the charity that supported him." Of course, Jack didn't go without on his birthday. He was surprised with a Zoom call from Tottenham Hotspur legend Gary Mabbott, a signed letter from head coach Ange Postecoglou, and a Spurs scarf reserved for fans who hit 100 years old. Jack joined the RAF in 1942 and trained as a navigator in Canada and as a wireless operator at RAF Cranwell. He flew with 8 Squadron Coastal Command in Liberators and B-25s during the Second World War in Ceylon, now known as Sri Lanka. When the war ended, he was stationed in Singapore and was involved with welfare of units in Southeast Asia. He was discharged in 1946 as a warrant officer. Jack remembers where he spent VE Day, and his wife Anne retells his story. Jack was in the Bahamas for VE Day. There had been a big party in the mess, and he left early and couldn't find his way home, so slept under a bush. He was very upset as his friends walked past him and left him there. Jack lost his eyesight due to macular degeneration in later life and was introduced to Blind Veterans UK by a friend. Anne said, "Blind Veterans UK has helped Jack enormously. He was very depressed before he joined. He went to the Brighton Centre and it made him realise what he could do. He was even taken off by the team to learn how to cook with adaptations. They said they'd teach him to cook roast chicken. Jack had never cooked, and when they returned, they told me he could roast toast. We'd been on many holidays to Brighton, and each one has helped Jack. Really wouldn't be where he is now without this support. We can pick up the phone and they're there for us. If you'd like to support Jack's 100th birthday fundraiser, visit blindveterans.org.uk/Jack.
We've always loved our Rustington holidays. RAF veteran Terry and his partner Joyce explain why they're more excited than a kiddie at Christmas to stay at our new centre in West Sussex. RAF veteran Terry and his wife Joyce from Oxfordshire were devastated when the RAF Benevolent Fund was closing its beloved centre in Rustington. So they couldn't believe their luck when they discovered that it had been purchased by Blind Veterans UK, the very charity Terry had only recently become a member of. Joyce says, "When we were told that the centre was closing, I sat on the sofa and sobbed. I couldn't bear the thought of never going back, as we had had so many lovely holidays there. But it turns out you should never say never. We were so excited to see what Blind Veterans UK has done to the place." Terry, 88, adds, "As soon as we found out that Blind Veterans UK was taking over the centre, I promptly got on the phone and badgered them to let us come and stay. Looking out my window at home before we left for our stay, the sky was grey, the river flooded, and we were feeling isolated. But having a place like Rustington to visit is a huge boost. Rustington means a tremendous amount to us. I was more excited than a kiddie at Christmas waiting to come for our stay." Terry joined the RAF in 1953 when he was 18 and served for 5 years as a ground wireless engineer based mostly in Egypt and the Middle East, serving the radios damaged in the desert. He says, "I spent 2 years of my service living in a tent in the desert. There were millions of flies in my tent and sandstorms occurred frequently. It was not the most pleasant place to be." Terry was discharged as a leading aircraftsman and returned to work as a domestic service engineer working on televisions and radios. 7 years ago, he underwent an operation on his left eye, which left him with a damaged retina. 2 years later, he discovered that he had age-related macular degeneration. Sadly, 18 months ago, he was told no more could be done. Terry says, "I sort of expected it, but it's been very frustrating. I'm also severely hearing impaired and used to read the subtitles while watching the television. But that's now become a struggle. I was also a keen hobbyist, involved in amateur radio and wood carving, both of which I could no longer do. Life becomes frustrating at times. my consultant at the hospital asked if I'd ever completed military service and advised me to get in touch with Blind Veterans UK. Finding out about the charity has been life-changing. They help us work out what we want to do and then achieve it. I've already been provided with a very bright reading lamp and a magnifying reader. Knowing how kind everyone at Blind Veterans UK is means we have no qualms at all about the charity moving into our beloved centre at Rustington. We have nothing but lovely memories of our previous stays, and we've now been given something to look forward to again. I knew it would still be brilliant.
Kevin's bowled over at Rustington. As one of the first members to be welcomed through the doors of our new Centre of Wellbeing at Rustington, we had a big surprise for Woodturner Kevin. One of the first holidaymakers to check into our new Centre of Wellbeing at Rustington was a familiar face known for regularly bearing wood-turned gifts for Blind Veteran UK staff. Kevin Nugent, 74, from Sandbach, and his wife Elaine stayed for a fortnight in January to check out the new centre. True to form, Kevin brought a beautiful wood-turned bowl for staff member Lizzie from the hospitality team as a way of thanking the charity for developing his wood-turning skills. Kevin became a member in 2016, having served in the army in the late 60s. His deteriorating eyesight prompted his early discharge. Then, after several years working as a prefabricated steel slinger, he was diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa. He says, "My consultant told me I had to stop working. It was tough. I was in my 30s. Fortunately, during a visit to our old Brighton Centre a year later, he was introduced to Lee Gibbons, who was then one of our rehabilitation instructors at the centre. Lee worked with Kevin to help get him back into a former hobby, wood turning. Kevin says, "If it hadn't been for Lee, I wouldn't have done it. I told him about my interest in wood turning from my school days in around 1963. He said, "Kevin, you'll be able to do it. There is nothing you can't do." He was really good at encouraging me. Kevin's passion for wood turning was soon reignited, and with further specialist training and help with installing a lathe at home, there was no stopping him. Since then, he's crafted candlesticks and tea light holders, as well as his trademark bowls. When asked about his favourite wood to work on, Kevin was unequivocal. "Lime wood is a beautiful wood to turn. It's like a piece of butter. It turns so easily and it looks so lovely. I also like spalted beech. It's got a fungus that runs through the wood, which is black. You can create some lovely shapes from it. It's what I use most and one of my favourites." Kevin and Elaine loved their stay at Rustington, but the highlight was being reunited with Lee, who now volunteers for the charity and made a surprise visit. The first thing Lee did when he arrived was inspect Kevin's latest bowl. He concluded, "It's a really nice bowl. Kevin's clearly been practicing. I'm really pleased." A lot of veterans lose confidence when they lose their sight. Rehabilitation is an important part of rebuilding this, and we always encourage them to continue with something they have prior knowledge of. In Kevin's case, it's been a great success, and I'm delighted to see the progress he's made. Kevin looks forward to returning to Rustington in November, where he hopes to sell his latest wood-turning creations, rumoured to be Christmas pudding tea light holders. Watch this space.
From football mad to chess champ. Playing football was Gary Hogan's life until he started losing his sight at just 24. Now a love of chess is filling the void. When Gary Hogan was younger, playing football was everything, so he was heartbroken when a hereditary eye condition ended his passion at just 24. But now, 41, Gary's love of competitive sport still burns brightly. After getting into chess during the lockdown, he's just represented England at the International Blind Chess World Championship. Gary says, it was on Facebook that I found out about the Braille Chess Association. I went along and played a game so that they could see my level, and I was put in the top section. There are 3 UK competitions a year and opportunities for weekends away, which are very sociable. At my first tournament, I came joint second and was invited to represent the UK in Greece at the World Championships. The International Braille Chess Association World Chess Championship took place in October. Gary was the sole representative of the UK and, being very new to the sport, went into the competition ranked 82 out of 82 competitors. He says, I was excited and honoured to be representing the UK and to be taking part in my first international competition. I played a lot of puzzles on chess.com and watched YouTube videos to make sure I had a more varied game beforehand. It was a 9-round tournament which saw 82 players from 29 countries competing against one another. I even had to learn around 20 words in German as we had to announce our moves, which is tricky when under time pressure. In the end, I came joint 48th, which I'm very proud of given it was my first international tournament and I've not been playing long. Gary joined the RAF at 17 and served for 13 years as an avionics aircraft technician on Tornado and Typhoon fighter planes. It was at the age of 24 that he first realised something was not right with his sight. He says, I couldn't see in the dark as well as others, so I visited the optician and was referred to the hospital. I have the hereditary condition retinitis pigmentosa and have been registered as severely sight impaired. My sight loss has been gradual. It's been described as tunnel vision. Over time, the extent of my vision deteriorates. If I hold out my hand fully extended in front of me, looking at my central knuckle on the back of my hand, I can just about see my wedding ring, but I can't see as far as my fingertips. Following his service, Gary has continued to work in aviation. He's now a B2 licensed aircraft engineer in a maintenance control department, monitoring the airworthiness of a fleet of 14 Airbus A330 aircraft. He became a member in 2022 and is overjoyed to have found a new passion and keen to get other members involved. He says chess is brilliant for those with sight loss. It's a sport in which we can compete on a more or less even field against sighted opponents. There are different levels and you don't have to play seriously. I've been inspired by reading the stories of other members in the Review magazine and how they've been supported to achieve incredible things with sight loss. I hope my story does the same. You don't need to know or learn Braille to play chess or join the Braille Chess Association. Find out more via the website Braille Chess, that's all one word, braillechess.org.uk.
Service Spotlight. Review writer Sheena Thompson asks Second World War veteran and former dog handler Wynne about her service. Member Wynne joined the Women's Royal Air Force, the WRAF, in late 1945 as part of her national service and spent 2 years as a dog handler and trainer. She became a member when she was in her 40s and was a regular visitor to our Brighton Centre. Now 96, Wynne has 5 children, 30 grandchildren and 8 great-grandchildren. She made her first visit to our Rustington Centre of Wellbeing earlier this year. What was life like as a dog trainer in the WRAF? I had no intention of working with dogs as I'd worked with animals all my life and I wanted a change. So I volunteered to train to be a stenographer in an office. I was asked to work for 6 months with war dogs, but ended up doing my whole 2 years as I enjoyed it so much. I never got the chance to be a stenographer. I joined at Wilmslow and did 9 years training before being moved to RAF Staverton, where I was billeted. The actual base with the dogs and kennels was at RAF Innsworth. We were about 6 WRAF and female civilian trainers. The dogs we trained were mostly Alsatians. Women did the initial training with the puppies, from birth to around 6 months. The dogs were mostly bred at the kennels, although some owners gave their dogs for the war effort. When the war finished, the dogs were returned to their owners. Sometimes I would take them back on trains all over the country. Once I remember taking a lovely dog back to its owners in London. I knocked on the door, but they didn't want it back.
Oh.
The first part of the training was when they were still puppies. My duties were general obedience training, feeding, kennel cleaning, walking, and taking them on buses and trains to make sure they had the right temperament. Petting was only allowed when they didn't have their harness on, which they wore for most of the day. When they were ready, the puppies were handed over to male trainers for the tough stuff. Patrol and guard duties, sniffing explosives, that sort of thing. Training depended on where they were going. Most were sent to Germany. When some of the dogs came back from war duties in Germany, they were so savage that they had to be kept in wire cages with 3 layers of wire. I can't imagine what it was like for them during the war, with all the gunfire and just looking for bombs in rubble and sniffing for anyone buried. What difference has becoming a member made to your life? I lost my eyesight when I was 43, although I'm partially sighted. My consultant told me I was entitled to join St Dunstan's. Being a member has been absolutely out of this world. As my eyesight has gradually deteriorated, I've still been able to see because I've been given equipment to help. I have a big CCTV screen so I can read, and a talking watch, a talking clock, and large print documents. Of course, the company is great too, and the staff are wonderful when you visit. You get such good care.
Talking books and audio publications. To celebrate World Book Day on the 7th of March, we look at ways to find and read your favourite books and publications in sight loss accessible formats. These days, many people prefer to listen to books and other reading materials in a spoken format, whether they have a vision impairment or not. This means you can now access thousands of books and publications in audio format, from novels to recipe books and even quiz books to instruction manuals. Depending on the service you use, you may need some special equipment such as a USB stick player to access the recordings, or a smartphone or tablet if you'd like to access online services. You can get more information on what's required when you sign up for a service. Talking books. Local libraries often have a selection of talking books on CD, USB stick, or a portable format like the PlayAway. You may also be able to access some audiobooks via their website. National charities. Two national charities, the RNIB and Caliber, provide thousands of free talking books in various formats. They send CDs or USB sticks out in the post and also allow online access to their catalogues. Alexa. You can also access RNIB talking books through Alexa. You need an Amazon account and an RNIB Reading Services account, but once you've set yourself up, it's easy. Simply say, "Alexa, open RNIB Talking Books, choose your book and start listening." Easy Reader. There are also apps, especially for people with a vision impairment, which you can download on your computer, phone or tablet. For example, Easy Reader lets you browse libraries and newspaper stands, then read whatever takes your fancy in your preferred format. Just download the Easy Reader app from your app store and follow the instructions. Other platforms. In addition, there are companies like Audible that allow you to download or stream high-quality talking books for a cost, and websites like Project Gutenberg, which gives free access to spoken versions of many older and out-of-copyright books. Local newspapers. In many local areas, there will be an organisation that records a spoken version of your local newspaper, or at least the highlights. Ask your local blind society or library for more information about this. National newspapers. When it comes to national newspapers and magazines, RNIB Newsagent is a good resource and can provide news and magazine and newspaper article recordings on CD or USB or online. If you have an Alexa, you could try the BWBF's Talking Newspaper skill or search the skills store to see if your news source of choice has a skill available. To find out more, call the MESH, now that's capital M, little E, capital S, capital H, team on 01273 391447. For more sight loss resources, visit blindveterans.org.uk/sight-loss-resources.
Member voice. Member engagement and military lead, Tim Eckersley, shares this month's engagement survey, as well as important updates about upcoming events. This month's engagement survey for you to answer. Every month we publish questions to get your thoughts on a particular aspect of our work. This month's questions are on volunteering. To answer them, simply email our member engagement team on MET, that's all in capitals, MET at blindveterans.org.uk or visit blindveterans.org.uk/monthly survey. As a charity, we are always in need of more volunteers to support our work. Do you feel we advertise our volunteering opportunities enough to members? We have volunteering roles that directly support members, such as home visitors and telephone befrienders. As a member, would you know who to contact if you want to find out about receiving volunteer support? Some of our volunteers support members directly in our centres and local communities in roles such as home visitors, social club helpers, drivers, befrienders and activity helpers. How would you rate this volunteer support? We currently have over 700 volunteers across the UK, making an exceptional difference to our charity and the lives of our members. Last year, they gave 19,000 hours of their time. How often do you hear about the impact of our volunteers? In 2023, Blind Veterans UK became one of only 18 charities nationally and the only vision impairment and military charity to be awarded the Quality in Befriending Award. Did you know we had achieved this excellent standard for our volunteering? We'll publish the results in April's review and on our member area. Founders Awards. Is there a fellow member you feel deserves a Founders Award? The Founders Awards are held in recognition of the first 16 war-blinded veterans welcomed by Sir Arthur Pearson to St Dunstan's Lodge in London's Regent's Park in 1915. The awards are a way for us to celebrate our charity and some of the remarkable achievements of the Blind Veterans UK community. The awards are presented throughout the year to members who have excelled in their endeavours. Local presentations. Some recipients are presented with their award locally by their community team during a visit or appropriate local event at any time during the year. Military dinner presentations. In addition to this, every year our regional members group votes on a small number of highly commended award nominees who are deemed to have made an especially significant contribution to the charity. Those selected will be invited to attend an award presentation at one of our military dinners, most likely the closest to where they live. How to nominate? Nominations can be made all year round and must be submitted via blindveterans.org.uk/founders awards, that's all one word, founders awards, or email our member engagement team, MET, that's capital letters, MET, at blindveterans.org.uk directly. Military engagement dinners. Our military engagement dinners are incredibly special and memorable events that celebrate our military heritage with serving personnel. They offer the chance to spend time with fellow members, as well as enjoy a delicious three-course meal with drinks. We don't charge members for the meal, though you will need to organise your own transport and accommodation, if needed, and pay for your own pre-dinner drinks. If this is an issue, the grants process does remain open, should it be of support to a member who could not otherwise be able to attend. To register your interest, please visit www.blindveterans.org.uk/members or call us on 0300 111 2233. 2024 dates and venues. Timing is 1300 to 1730. 26th April 2024, HMS Drake, Plymouth. 15th of May 2024, RAF Bulmer, Northumberland. 6th of June 2024, D-Day Commemoration Dinner, Victory Services Club, London. 21st of June 2024, HMS Sultan, Gosport. September 2024, RAF Cosford, date to be confirmed. And 11th of October 2024, RAF Honington.
National Creative Wellbeing Programme. This month's creative activities you can take part in all from the comfort of your own home. To sign up to or find out more about the following creative activities or hobby circles, simply call 01273 391 447 and leave a message if you'd just like to request an activity kit, or visit our member area at blindveterans.org.uk/activity-kit, that's all one word, activity kit, to sign up online. All our projects come with visually impaired friendly instructions as well as the option of audio on a USB stick if requested. Gardening. Surprise Seeds outdoor project designed and supported by member Jim Long. You'll receive a pack of mixed beetroot, tomato and dahlia seeds and some hints and tips from Jim himself. Scented Herbs, which is an indoor project. This pack will contain seeds, a pot and compost to grow a scented bunch of herbs, including lavender, mint and rosemary. Craft. Rainbow Mosaic. You'll receive tiles, sorted into colour packs so they're easier to identify, along with a rainbow base of around 20 centimetres width. Grout, glue, gloves and a step-by-step guide with a design template will be included to make a decoration that will brighten up your space. Woodwork. Aircraft carriers. A 171-piece wooden model kit of an aircraft carrier ship. This is a challenging project, but with a bit of patience, the results are fantastic. You'll receive a step-by-step written and picture guide with some glue and extra sandpaper. Drawing. Seaside Sketchbook. This sketching kit is suitable for any drawing ability, even beginners. You'll receive a variety of specially chosen art materials, two sketchbooks, and some seaside-themed tactile prompts to get you started with the basics of drawing and sketching. We'd love to see what you create. If you'd like to share your work or get in touch, please email us at ncwt@blindveterans.org.uk. Thank you for continuing to return the surveys with your packs. Your feedback is very valuable to us and will help us to continue to shape the NCWP going forward. Creative Hobby Circles, facilitated by Blind Veterans UK staff and our member volunteers, members with a shared interest meet monthly using Microsoft Teams for a chat to offer ideas, tips and support with ongoing projects. Knitting, crochet or weaving, this group is for members to chat about your latest projects with wool. All abilities welcome, a friendly group to support and inspire. Woodwork. For those of you interested in woodwork, wood turning, wooden model making and more, this group offers peer support, tips and encouragement with your wooden model projects. Gardening group for amateur gardeners and members who have signed up for our gardening projects. This group aims to offer support with VI-friendly gardening, no matter the size of your garden, greenhouse or windowsill.
Quiz time. Our quizmaster Ron Russell tests your general knowledge. I'll read out each of the 10 questions, and after reading out each question, I'll leave a gap and then give you the answer. So, question one. In which year was the first Harry Potter book published? And the answer, 1997. Question two. Who was the first Labour Party leader to win three successive elections? And the answer, Tony Blair. Question three. Who was the first monarch to be crowned in the 20th century? And the answer, King Edward VII. Question four. How many years has the Chelsea Flower Show been in existence? And the answer, 110 years. Question five. Which is the largest country in the Commonwealth? And the answer, Canada. Question six. When were postcards first introduced in Britain? A, 1870, B, 1910, or C, 1915? And the answer, 1870. Question seven. Which monarch created the Domesday Book? The answer, King William I. Question eight. Approximately how many poppies are made each year? The answer, 45 million. Question nine. In what decade were dog licenses abolished in England? A, 1970s, B, 1980s, C, 1990s. And the answer, 1980s. And the last question, question 10. What handheld device is used to detect radiation dose rate? And the answer, Geiger-Müller detector. Family news. Norma Baker, who celebrates her 105th birthday on the 20th of March 2024. Leonard Britton, who celebrates his 103rd birthday on the 21st of March 2024. Elizabeth Churchill, who celebrates her 103rd birthday on the 25th of March 2024. Gladys Goodridge, who celebrates her 100th birthday on the 2nd of April 2024. Peggy Harding, who celebrates her 102nd birthday on the 2nd of April 2024. Marion Hibbins, who celebrates her 102nd birthday on the 26th of March 2024. Owen Hillier, who celebrates his 102nd birthday on the 5th of April 2024. Joan Elise Holm, who celebrates her 103rd birthday on the 22nd of March 2024. Mary Sayer, who celebrates her 100th birthday on the 10th of March 2024. Phyllis Vernon, who celebrates her 100th birthday on the 4th of April 2024. Margaret Winnie, who celebrates her 101st birthday on the 14th of March 2024. And Gordon Wright, who celebrates his 101st birthday on the 26th of March 2024. Condolences. It is with deep regret that we record the deaths of the following, and we offer our heartfelt condolences. Jenny Davey, who died on the 20th of November 2023, she was the wife of Leslie William Davey. Georgina Hanson, who died on the 1st of September 2023, she was the wife of Barry Hanson. Anna Hogbin, who died on the 5th of December 2023, she was the wife of Paul Raymond Edward Hogbin. Joyce Park, who died on the 1st of October 2023, she was the wife of Cyril Wright Park. Rosemary Pidell, who died on the 1st of November 2023, she was the wife of Keith Ivor Pidell. Betty Thomas, who died on the 3rd of December 2023, she was the wife of Dewey Thomas. Olive Dorothy Whiting, who died on the 1st of July 2022, she was the wife of Derek Whiting. All birthday information was correct at the time of going to press. In memory. It is with deep regret that we record the deaths of the following members, and we offer our heartfelt condolences to their widows, widowers, families and friends. Geoffrey Arnold of Bradford, West Yorkshire, died on the 20th of December 2023, aged 94. He served as an aircraftman second class in the Royal Air Force. Kenneth Orton of Rugby, Warwickshire, died on the 1st of January 2024, aged 92. He served as a leading aircraftman in the Royal Air Force Police. Alan George Ballinger of Littlehampton, West Sussex, died on the 14th of January 2024, aged 93. He served as a leading aircraftman in the Royal Air Force. Anthony Barden of Manchester died on the 1st of September 2023, aged 90. He served as a bombardier in the Royal Artillery. Cyril Barker of Thornton Cleveleys, Lancashire, died on the 15th of January 2024, aged 90. He served as a private in the Royal Army Ordnance Corps. Gordon William Barlow of Sutton Coalfield, West Midlands, died on the 26th of November 2023, aged 85. He served as an aircraftman second class in the Royal Air Force. Kathleen Barbara Birchall of Weston-super-Mare, Avon, died on the 13th of January 2024, aged 102. She served as a private in the Auxiliary Territorial Service. Beatrice Brooks of Manchester died on the 27th of January 2024, aged 99. She served as an aircraft woman second class in the Royal Air Force. Robert Campbell of Chesterfield, Derbyshire died on the 1st of January 2024, aged 90. He served in the Royal Air Force. Peter Chamberlain of Newcastle-upon-Tyne died on the 16th of January 2024, aged 99. He served as an able seaman in the Royal Navy. George Albert Cherry of Blandford Forum, Dorset, died on the 1st of January 2024, aged 90. He served as a corporal in the Royal Air Force. Kenneth Chivers of Colchester, Essex, died on the 27th of January 2024, aged 89. He served as a private in the King's Regiment. James Simpkins Colbert of Kingsbridge, Devon, died on the 31st of December 2023, aged 94. He served as a warrant officer in the Royal Air Force. Peter Allen Coote of Haverhill, Suffolk, died on the 4th of January 2024, aged 86. He served as a corporal in the Suffolk Regiment. Ronald Coulson of Clacton-on-Sea, Essex, died on the 25th of December 2023, aged 92. He served as a craftsman in the Royal Electrical and Mechanical Engineers. Mary Patricia Dixon of Maidenhead, Berkshire, died on the 1st of December 2023, aged 95. She served as a lieutenant in the Queen Alexandra's Royal Army Nursing Corps. Thomas Henry Eastham of Blackpool, Lancashire, died on the 12th of December 2023, aged 98. He served as an ordinary seaman in the Royal Navy. Ronald James Evans of Spalding, Lincolnshire, died on the 30th of December 2023, aged 95. He served as a private in the Army Catering Corps. Robin Griffin of Hove, East Sussex, died on the 12th of November 2023, aged 93. He served as a leading aircraftman in the Royal Air Force. Jack Andrew Hamby of Bradford, West Yorkshire, died on the 14th of January 2024, aged 91. He served as an aircraftman second class in the Royal Air Force. William John Dudley Harris of Clevedon, North Somerset, died on the 28th of December 2023, aged 85. He served as a private in the East Anglian Regiment. Roy Geoffrey Harvey of Tunbridge Wells, Kent, died on the 15th of January 2024, aged 92. He served in the Royal Air Force. Anthony Hadley Head of Oakhampton, Devon, died on the 3rd of November 2023, aged 85. He served in the Royal Navy. Richard John Hurd of Enfield, Middlesex, died on the 17th of January 2024, aged 97. He served as a corporal in the Royal Air Force. Graham Spencer Henley of Hayes, Middlesex, died on the 1st of January 2024, aged 71. He served as a Fusilier in the Royal Welsh Fusiliers. Derek Higginbottom of Sheffield died on the 2nd of December 2023, aged 90. He served as a sergeant in the Coldstream Guards. John Barry Hurst of Lincoln died on the 7th of January 2024, aged 91. He served as a corporal in the Royal Army Medical Corps. Jean Hughes of Norwich died on the 20th of January 2024, aged 103. She served as a junior commander in the Auxiliary Territorial Service. Andrew Brown Hunter of Bath died on the 22nd of January 2024, aged 89. He served as a private in the Black Watch Royal Highland Regiment. Terence Jones of Oldham died on the 26th of December 2023, aged 91. He served in the 11th Hussars, Prince Albert's Own. Brian Keane of Luton died on the 21st of January 2024, aged 92. He served as a temporary lieutenant in the Royal Navy. Edna Elsie Kirby of Middlesbrough, Cleveland, died on the 1st of December 2023, aged 101. She served as an aircraftman first class in the Women's Auxiliary Air Force. Herbert Lewis Kirkland of Reading died on the 26th of December 2023, aged 87. He served as a corporal in the Royal Dream Jackets 43rd, 52nd, 60th and 95th Foot. Henry George Lambert of Ivy Bridge, Devon, died on the 10th of January 2024, aged 94. He served as a sergeant in the Royal Army Ordnance Corps. Hubert Neville Lees of Fleet, Hampshire, died on the 14th of January 2024, aged 98. He served as a petty officer in the Royal Navy. David Lidgett of Boston, Lincolnshire, died on the 26th of January 2024, aged 86. He served as an acting corporal in the Royal Air Force. Brenda Lynham of Gillingham, Kent, died on the 1st of September 2023, aged 99. She served as a lieutenant in the Queen Alexandra's Royal Army Nursing Corps. Keith John Mann of Barnet, Hertfordshire, died on the 18th of January 2024, aged 91. He served as a leading aircraftman in the Royal Air Force. Norbert Marshall of Ross-on-Sea, Conwy, died on the 1st of December 2023, aged 102. He served as a leading aircraftman in the Royal Air Force. Harry Mason of Manchester died on the 8th of December 2023, aged 92. He served as a corporal in the Royal Electrical and Mechanical Engineers. Joseph McClure of Manchester died on the 10th of January 2024, aged 95. He served as a leading aircraftman in the Royal Air Force. Stephen Donachy McNaught of Doncaster, South Yorkshire, died on the 21st of December 2023, aged 89. He served as a corporal in the Royal Air Force. Talbot Fairley McVie of Bridgewater, Somerset, died on the 12th of January 2024, aged 73. He served as a signalman in the Royal Signals. Patrick Rudolph Mortimer of Newton Abbot, Devon, died on the 9th of January 2024, aged 97. He served as a corporal in the Royal Air Force. John Andrew Morton of Coventry died on the 23rd of October 2023, aged 103. He served as a flight lieutenant in the Royal Air Force. Kenneth Paul Miles of Worcester died on the 1st of January 2024, aged 78. He served as a private in the Worcestershire Regiment. Edward George Neville of North Walsham, Norfolk, died on the 4th of January 2024, aged 93. He served as a leading aircraftman in the Royal Air Force. Dennis Noonan of Richmond, Surrey, died on the 14th of January 2024, aged 84. He served as a Lance Corporal in the Royal Army Service Corps. Raymond Norton of Exeter died on the 3rd of January 2024, aged 89. He served as a private in the Devonshire Regiment. John Owen of Tredor Bay, Innismon, died on the 6th of January 2024, aged 91. He served in the Royal Artillery. Elwin Peters of Buckley Clwyd died on the 17th of December 2023, aged 96. He served as an aircraftman second class in the Royal Air Force. Keith Pidd of Consett, County Durham, died on the 1st of November 2023, aged 94. He served in the Royal Electrical and Mechanical Engineers. Mark Idris Pyle of Bath, Somerset, died on the 26th of January 2024, aged 59. He served as a private in the Light Infantry, 13th, 32nd, 46th, 51st, 53rd, 68th, 85th, 105th and 106th foot. Albert Sidney Dennis Pink of Hayling Island, Hampshire, died on the 18th of December 2023, aged 91. He served as a private in the Royal Artillery. Robina Pollock of Bridport, Dorset, died on the 21st of December 2023, aged 100. She served as a private in the Auxiliary Territorial Service. Linton Douglas Powell of Waterlooville, Hampshire, died on the 15th of January 2024, aged 96. He served as a Lance Corporal in the Royal Engineers. Cyril John Rand of Oxford died on the 8th of January 2024, aged 101. He served in the Royal Air Force. Thomas Brian Richards of Rugby, Warwickshire, died on the 1st of December 2023, aged 91. He served as a senior aircraftman in the Royal Air Force. Harold Rush of Prescott, Merseyside, died on the 1st of January 2024, aged 94. He served as an aircraftman in the Royal Air Force. Francis Schofield of Liverpool died on the 3rd of December 2023, aged 97. He served as a Fusilier in the Lancashire Fusiliers. Douglas Maxwell Shave of Wimborne, Dorset, died on the 23rd of January 2024, aged 92. He served as a leading aircraftman in the Royal Air Force. John Edward Skinner of Hailsham, East Sussex, died on the 9th of January 2024, aged 93. He served as a sapper in the Royal Engineers. Peter Southard of Swindon died on the 22nd of January 2024, aged 76. He served as a leading seaman in the Royal Navy. Colin Stevenson of Minehead, Somerset, died on the 4th of January 2024, aged 84. He served as a corporal in the Royal Electrical and Mechanical Engineers. Geoffrey Philip Stevens of Eastleigh, Hampshire, died on the 1st of August 2023, aged 88. He served as a junior technician in the Royal Air Force. Michael Anthony Taylor of Leicester died on the 2nd of January 2024, aged 89. He served as a corporal in the Royal Signals. Brian Charles Taylor of Seaford, East Sussex, died on the 27th of December 2023, aged 90. He served as an acting Lance Corporal in the Royal Army Service Corps. David John Francis Thomas of Bristol died on the 17th of January 2024, aged 94. He served as an Aircraftman First Class in the Royal Air Force. Terence Blunt Tomlinson of Rochdale, Lancashire, died on the 11th of January 2024, aged 89. He served as a gunner in the Royal Artillery. Philip John Truluck of Eastbourne, East Sussex, died on the 9th of January 2024, aged 76. He served as a naval airman in the Royal Navy. Victor Walters of St Helens, Merseyside, died on the 7th of January 2024, aged 91. He served as a private in the Royal Army Ordnance Corps. Richard Webster of Trefnant, Denbighshire, died on the 1st of May 2023, aged 89. He served as a brigadier in the Queen's Royal Irish Hussars. Victor Wilson of Sheffield died on the 1st of January 2024, aged 95. He served as a gunner in the Royal Artillery. William Winterbourne of Boston, Lincolnshire, died on the 3rd of January 2024, aged 89. He served as a warrant officer in the Royal Air Force. And Norman Thin Wintrip of Hartlepool, Cleveland, died on the 23rd of January 2024, aged 92. He served as a naval airman in the Royal Navy. And did you know that we can set up online tribute pages for the loved ones of members, staff and supporters? Find out more about setting up a tribute page here at blindveterans.org.muchlove.org. Actually, I'll repeat that. blindveteransuk.muchlove.org. Contact details. The contact address for Blind Veterans UK is 126 Fairley Road, Slough, SL14PY, and the telephone number is 0300 111 2233. The member support hub mesh telephone number is 01273 391 447. New members. Anyone who may be eligible to join Blind Veterans UK can phone our membership department on free phone 0800 389 7979. The telephone number for Rustington Centre is 01903 945 300. The telephone number for the Llandudno Centre is 01492 868 700. The telephone number for the review editor is 0300 111 2233, or the email address is revieweditor, all one word, at blindveterans.org.uk. To give us feedback on any of our services, please email us at supporter.services@blindveterans.org.uk or call the telephone number 0300 111 2233. To make a donation, simply call 0300 111 2233 or visit blindveterans.org.uk/donate. To listen to review on Alexa, the command is Alexa, ask TuneIn to play Blind Veterans UK Review. If you have any problems getting it to work, please contact the Mesh helpline on 01273 391 447. thinking about writing or amending your will, we can help you do this for free. Blind Veterans UK partners with two services that you can use: an accessible online provider or a face-to-face visit with a solicitor in your local area. Community support worker Chris used the face-to-face service and says, "It was quite straightforward. I now have a will which ensures my partner has a roof over his head, my beneficiaries get looked after, and Blind Veterans UK will receive a gift to continue supporting veterans in the future." You are not required to leave a gift in your will if you use these services, but if you do choose to do so, like many others, you would be helping to ensure that we can be there for future veterans too. For more information, contact Kim and Alice in the Gifts in Wills team on 0207 616 7923 or at giftsinwills, that's all one word, giftsinwills@blindveterans.org.uk.